meet the college that said no thanks to Rick Singer.
He said we can create a win-win for both of us. And the admissions director said no.
And SoftBank takes a $4.7 billion loss on its investment in WeWork.
At one point, it thought it was worth $47 billion. And now it's saying the total value of the company is more like $8 billion.
Plus, Democrats take control of Virginia's legislature. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a look at the college that said no to participating in the college admissions cheating scheme, here's what you missed. We'll start with an update on some of those key races we told you about yesterday. First up, Virginia, where Democrats have won control of the legislature. It's the first time in 26 years that Democrats have been in control of the state's legislature and governor's mansion. This gives them the opportunity to pass new gun control laws, a higher minimum wage, and other measures opposed by Republicans. Meanwhile, as of this recording, the governor's race in Kentucky is too close to call. At the moment, Democratic challenger Andy Beshear has a narrow lead over the current Republican governor, Matt Bevin. Mr. Bevin joked about the tight race.
With respect to our race, would it be a Bevin race if it wasn't a squeaker? I mean, come on. I mean, really and truly, this is a close, close race. We are not conceding this race by any stretch.
And finally, in Mississippi, Republican Tate Reeves was elected the state's next governor. He'd been backed by President Trump, who's popular in the state. Elsewhere, in Japan, the conglomerate SoftBank said it recorded a loss on its investment in WeWork to the tune of $4.7 billion. And that amount doesn't include the bailout of the company. From Tokyo, Peter Landers has more.
SoftBank's chief executive, Masayoshi Son, had a press conference. He was very frank about his mistakes. He said his investment judgment was really bad. He really regrets it. He said he overestimated Adam Neumann, the co-founder of WeWork, didn't recognize some of his negative aspects, especially as it relates to governance of WeWork, and there's been a lot of criticism there. So he's expressing a lot of regret. He says this is red ink like he's never seen before, and he hopes to turn things around.
And we're exclusively reporting that Xerox is considering taking over Hewlett-Packard. HP has a market value of $27 billion. That makes it more than three times the size of Xerox. Though a deal hasn't been finalized, we report that Xerox does have the money. It recently announced plans to sell its stake in Fujifilm, and our sources told us that Xerox has received an informal funding commitment from a major bank. So what's the upside of a deal? Well, here's how we've described it. Quote, an audacious move that would unite two fading stars of technology. We're reporting that both companies are in cost-cutting mode and a deal could offer ways to shed expenses. Now, our main story this morning. It has to do with the college that essentially said no to Rick Singer. He's, of course, admitted to being the architect of the college admissions cheating scheme. Now, you might not have heard of the school. It's Occidental College in Los Angeles. Charlie Turner has been finding out more from Jennifer Levitz.
Jennifer, the college admissions cheating scandal really highlighted the role of money. You write that the mastermind of the scandal, Rick Singer, made inroads into major colleges and universities, successfully persuading them to give extra consideration to wealthy applicants who were likely unqualified. But Singer was less successful with the admissions director at Occidental College, wasn't he?
He was. Back in 2012, he had a client's child who was rejected from Occidental. The family was wealthy, so he emailed the admissions director. He wanted them to overturn the rejection, and he wanted a meeting. And he suggested that the parents would give the school money above and beyond tuition. He said, we can create a win-win for both of us. And the admissions director said no. He wrote back, absolutely not, no meeting. You were off base, and this was a place that we understand Rick Singer complained about as having what he portrayed as too thick of walls between the development office and admissions.
Let's talk about Occidental. Occidental has had this policy for a long time, hasn't it? Opting not to chase wealthy or well-off students and focus on, you know, scholarships for less well-off minorities.
That's right. A couple generations ago, it sort of opted out of the chase for the well-heeled students and put its money into scholarships for less well-off minorities and working-class kids. What happened was around the 80s, Los Angeles was becoming one of the nation's most diverse cities, and Occidental trustees, many of them were business owners, felt there weren't enough educated minorities to fill jobs. So they reworked their curriculum and enrollment practices to draw more Black and Latino students. And the school became one of the nation's most racially and socioeconomically integrated private schools long before many universities were prioritizing diversity.
Well, I think it's come at a price to the school, hasn't it?
That's right. They, by attracting fewer students, fewer wealthy students, and more students that are going to need help and need grants and so forth, they've had some financial stress. Their endowment is not what it could be. Their amenities are not what they could be. I mean, the school is very is pretty and tranquil, and they're building a new pool and so forth. But when you look at the amenities arms race underway at many other colleges, Lazy Rivers and palatial fitness centers and apartment-style dorms with floor-to-ceiling windows, high-tech libraries, climbing gyms, you don't see that at Occidental. And so there are some people who think that hurts you, because freshmen today, if you're a family going around to look at colleges, that's going to influence you. Maybe you want to go somewhere that has nicer amenities.
Jennifer, tell us about the pressures that schools face, you know, that make them cut corners or lie to boost rankings or become a party to a scheme masterminded by Rick Singer.
Right. Well, they are the business model of higher education faces a lot of pressure due to demographic changes, disruptive technology, the tightest labor market in half a century. So colleges and universities are facing incentives to cut corners or even lie to boost rankings. What Rick Singer did is he exploited these forces to create this side door strategy where he bribed college coaches to tag his clients' children as walk-on athletes, even though they didn't play the sport. He rigged ACT scores. But there are definitely forces at work that are putting pressure on universities.
You can read Jennifer's full story up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We're going to turn to China now. The country sold bonds denominated in euros for the first time in 15 years. That could encourage Chinese companies to follow suit and reduce their reliance on dollar funding. From Hong Kong, Quentin Webb has more.
Well, there's two or three reasons why China is issuing bonds in euros. The first is raising money in euros is super cheap at the moment. It's cheaper than raising money in dollars. China doesn't have euro bonds outstanding at the moment. Issuing new euro bonds will make it easier for Chinese companies to issue in this currency too, because there's now a benchmark they can price against. And big picture, long term, the dollar's dominance in global finance is a bit worrying for China. And doing this at the margin probably helps nudge Chinese companies into securing more of their funding in the euro rather than in the dollar, and thus kind of reducing this maybe slightly risky sort of strategic vulnerability in the medium term.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. We've got more earnings set for release, including the New York Times and CVS before the bell. After markets close, we'll get Fox and the chipmaker Qualcomm. When it comes to Qualcomm, investors will be paying close attention to what the company has to say about next-generation 5G technology. Qualcomm's chips are in some of the highest-profile new 5G phones, and investors are looking for signs that the technology's promise is coming to fruition for the company. In Washington, David Hale, the Undersecretary for Political Affairs, is set to testify as part of the impeachment probe. He would be the first official to be interviewed by the impeachment inquiry this week after several others declined to appear. He's a career diplomat who's held the number 3 job at the State Department since August 2018. Finally, we've reported several stories this year looking at declining enrollment in graduate business schools. But even as that trend continues, the percentage of women in some of the top MBA programs has increased. That's according to new data out today. Catherine Dale has more.
So the Forte Foundation looked at the 54 member schools, which captures the bulk of, you know, top programs in the U.S., Canada, and Europe, and they found that this year women's enrollment is at about 39%, an average across those schools. That's up from 38% last year, but it's up considerably from 32% in 2011 when they started looking at this.
Catherine says that part of the reason for the increase is due to outreach from MBA programs.
Business schools are really doing everything they can so that women can imagine themselves in MBA programs, and a lot of that is on-campus visits, demonstrating, you know, on-campus diversity, really harnessing their alumni networks to make it clear that MBAs are a place you belong.
That's what's news from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.